Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
So there's the first thing. Jesus has come to address, to reach out to those people who realize that they are far from God. And he is saying, when you realize that you are far from God, you are actually knocking on the door of the kingdom. I have come close to you. There is a place where you can be accepted. There is a place where you belong. You're no longer an orphan kind of floating out here by yourself. I think there's something wrong. I've heard someone say, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure where to go. Now you have a place to belong. Because the poor receive good news. The Savior has come to you. You didn't have to go to him. He went to you. The second category of people, if you think about it, prisoners. I love this phrase that it says here. It says, to proclaim good news to the poor, send me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You're saying, okay, so wait a minute. What kind of language is this? Well, the Greek word there underneath is the actual word for a prisoner of war. We don't use those terms that much anymore. Now we're worried about the whole thing happening in Afghanistan, and we've gotten a taste of that, right? What is the main concern in our country? There are people there, there are Americans there who are prisoners now. How do we get them out? They could be hostages. There are people who helped us for 20 years. How do we get them out? Isn't that the big issue now? What the news does not stop talking about, well, that's the same image here. It's the same exact image. And Jesus, so let's change the word to a word that Paul likes to use. The Apostle Paul likes to use the word slave. So are you a slave to a drug? Are you a slave to alcohol? Are you a slave to your job? Are you a slave to money? Are you a slave to a career? Are you a slave to status? Should I keep going? No, you already understand what I'm saying. And that's what he's saying here. If you are a slave, if you are a prisoner to one of these things, your liberator has come. And he has punched a hole in the wall of the prison cell that you're living in, thinking that a drug or alcohol or pornography or a career or money or a bank account or a new contract, thinking that that's it. This small little box that the devil has put you in is saying, wow, don't you love this little 4x8 cell that I put you in? It's everything you've ever wanted. But you're a prisoner, you're a slave. And along comes Jesus the liberator, and he punches a hole in the wall. And he lets the light stream in, and he walks you out. You are not a prisoner anymore. There is true freedom in following Jesus Christ. Then he talks about and recovery of sight for the blind. How many blind people do you know? I'm not talking about the people who can't see, who need a little stick. That's not who I'm talking about. How many blind people do you know? People who are walking through this life and really have no idea about God, about consequences, about blessing, about the word, about the gospel, about what Jesus has done. They have no idea. Everything that God is, they're blind. And this is where you come in. This is where you come in, and you can offer them sight. This is where Jesus has come close to them and is saying, I will take the scales from your eyes. When the Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road and Jesus knocks him on his tail, what happens to Paul? He's blind for 3 days. He can't see. And then when he's taken off into the city, one of the disciples comes in, and when he prays over him, it says that the scales fell from his eyes, and now there's a new man who can see the world in a new way through the lens of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is promising us. If you know someone who was walking through this life blind, why would you continue to allow them to do that? If Christ has offered them salvation, if Christ has offered them a new path, a new road, a new destiny, why on earth would you sit by and let someone walk by you blindly? You can't do that if you love them. The gospel is good news to the poor, to the prisoner, to the blind. They can see what God has done. They can see what Christ has done. They can see the scriptures. They can see what church is about. They can see a family of faith, and their life changes completely. Good news. And then my personal favorite, the last part here where Jesus quoting Isaiah says, and to set the oppressed free. This word is so powerful. It has various meanings. The person who is crushed, the person who is broken in pieces, the person who feels that there is a boot on their neck and they can't stand up. How many individuals, and maybe you're here today and you feel the same way, how many of you feel that life has just crushed you? That it's just kind of grinded you? And there's so little of you coming out the other side. How many of you feel that there is a part of your life that has just fallen and broken into pieces, just shattered, like a vase falling off the top of a desk or a table, just in pieces? How many people feel that there is something holding them down and they, for the life of them, cannot stand up? It doesn't matter what they try. It doesn't matter who they're with. It doesn't matter if they have kids or not. It doesn't matter if their job is better. It doesn't matter. They are just face down and they cannot stand up. My goodness, people are living this way. Part of the effects of the devil tempting Adam and Eve and the effects on us, people who are oppressed. And Jesus says, I have come to put it back together again. I have come to stand you up. I have come to liberate you and set you free and put your life back together again. That's the good news of the gospel. This is what the gospel looks like, church, when you put it into real life. The last 2 weeks we talked about salvation kind of from 30,000 feet, kind of a larger view. This is now the gospel, the other side of it, where you see the effects of the gospel in our everyday life. Whether you're poor in spirit, you realize the distance, whether you feel that you're a prisoner, whether you are blind or whether you are oppressed or crushed, now you see that Christ brings belonging, acceptance, restoration, transformation. That's the good news of the gospel. This is what Jesus Christ has offered to us. This is what he offers every single day, and that's how we close. Because here it says, one of the most beautiful phrases in Scripture, he says to them, the eyes of everyone were fastened, and he begins the sermon. He just read from the Bible. He was going to start preaching. We don't get that sermon. We just see what he read. It says, today this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Salvation is not something you have to wait for. This kind of restoration and belonging is not something you have to wait for. It's something that happens in the here and now, in the moment. Will your life come back together again in 2 seconds? For some people, it does. For some people, it takes some years, some months for things to slowly come back together. But there is healing and there is restoration because Christ is at work. God works at his own pace. You can't tell him at what pace to work at. You can't put a speed limit on him. But the restoration is true and it will happen and it can change in a moment. He says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Salvation is not something that we're waiting for in the great beyond or when the eternal city comes. Salvation is happening in the here and now. It happens today. It can happen in this moment. So if you have someone in your life who needs to hear about Jesus Christ, if you have someone in your life who is poor in spirit, who is a prisoner, who might be blind, who might be oppressed, well, pick a category. Pick one. Their life can change today. Their life can change in a conversation with you over coffee, not with me. Because they don't know me. They know you. And as I've said many times before, if you're not sure how to express it, then pick them up on a Sunday morning and bring them here and I'll help them understand it. I'll do you that favor. It's one of the jobs that I have here. But their life can change in a moment. But you got to be careful. And this happens the longer that you're in church. Here is the difficult part. The very end, I always include the very end of the passage to kind of leave it kind of hanging out there. It says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked. So there's always going to be a group of people who are going to look at Jesus and say, you know, but wasn't he just like a carpenter? Wasn't he just like kind of a guy who walked down the dusty roads of Israel and preached some nice stuff and we kind of remember him like some kind of historical figure? And you have to be careful. This is more of a warning for those who've been sitting in church for a long time. You see, because the people who have been on the street and who have been lost and who've had life crush them and have felt the poorness of spirit, who have felt blind, when they see Jesus, they get it. They see it, they act, their life changes. But sometimes when you sit in church long enough, you start to say what these people said. Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't he just like the cute little baby that we celebrate in Christmas? Isn't he just like that 1 week on Easter that we all have to go to church like a million times? Isn't that just kind of it? Be careful that he doesn't fall into kind of a familiar territory where you think you know everything about him, where you think you've understood him, where you think that, yeah, I kind of know everything I need to know about Jesus. When you arrive at that place, you become one of these people. Because you know what this group did? And he went to Nazareth, which was where he grew up. He went to the people that knew him best, and that technically you can make the argument he loved the most, right? At that point, just kind of human caring. Do you know what these people try to do to him after this? He quotes two examples of the Old Testament, one of a widow that received blessing from God, one of a Gentile general who came and he was healed and Israel wasn't. And when he uses these two examples to describe them, the whole Joseph, something's like, you think you know me, but you don't know me, right? They take him to the edge of a cliff and they try to kill him. This is the response to the gospel. This is the response to the freedom of the poor, the freedom of the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, the oppressed. They are so enthusiastic about it that they just say, wasn't it Joseph's son? And then they get so mad at him that they try to throw him off a cliff and stone him. This is the reaction. Is that not still the reaction of humanity to Jesus? Has anything changed? No, it hasn't. Some people walked out of there that day believing. Some people walked out of there saying, well, he's just this guy, you know, this Galilean carpenter guy. He says some important stuff. He's a historical figure. Some people got angry and want to kill him. Is that not still the reaction to Jesus? So what I say to you today is don't allow him to just become Joseph's son. Don't allow him to just become someone who, because someone in your office is really, really angry that you don't talk about him anymore because they're angry about him and they're furious and they want to stone him and throw him off a cliff. Don't let it become that. Allow him to be your liberator. Allow him to be your savior. Allow him to be the one who restores you. Allow him to be the one who communicates to you in a very powerful and precious and beautiful way. You belong to me. You are not alone. And no matter the damage that the devil has tried to do in your life, I am here, he says. And I will heal. And I will restore. And as I always do, I challenge you to give this gospel to somebody else. Jesus went to Nazareth. So I challenge you to go to your Nazareth. Who are the people that you know the best? Who are the people that need to hear about, you know, liberation and acceptance and belonging? Who are they? Where is your Nazareth that you need to go to and say, listen, there is this Savior and there is this Lord, and he's come close to you, and I want you to understand that this is what he's done for us. He's not just Joseph's son. He's not somebody you get mad at. He is someone you encounter and you engage and you allow close into your life. Church, this is the gospel. This is what the gospel looks like. As I said last week, for the last 2 weeks with Alex, you talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And in that love, this overarching salvation love, this is what the other side of the coin looks like. This is the salvation of every day. The gospel at work every day. This is not just a get into heaven pass. This is a survive and triumph every single day, regardless of what comes your way. So church, live out the gospel. Church, delight in this gospel. And church, allow Jesus to get closer and closer and closer to you, that you would feel a deeper sense of belonging, a deeper sense of freedom, a deeper sense of restoration, and a deeper sense of being radically transformed by the power of the gospel. And that's my prayer for you on this kickoff Sunday. And I pray that this very brief message, but a deep look into the gospel, would be of great blessing to you. Can we say amen to Jesus' work together? Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.